Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Love Amped. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Love Amped. I am your host, Seth Pearson, and this week we are talking to someone that I love so much. Oh my God, Cora Boyd, an incredible dating coach. She is Seattle's dating coach for men, people. This is a big deal. People are having a hard time dating out there. And she's here to help and to talk about her journey through self-love. So, enjoy.
Oh no. Cora, what are you doing here?
I don't know. I just fell out of the sky.
What the heck? Were you in a cloud?
I was.
Really?
Yeah, I was lounging on a cloud.
Uh-huh.
And then I just thought I'd pop down for a second and say hey.
Just a little fallen angel out of the sky here. Just plops right in.
Right into your teacup.
Thank you. Thank you. Marvelous. Cora, so when we kind of first talked about you being on the podcast, like you were ready to go. Like
we knew
exactly what you wanted to say.
Yes.
And so before we go into that story
that
you're gonna tell me, what were you about to tell me just now about your dating show that you had on Thursday?
Yeah, so I have a few ideas of what I want us to discuss. One is like the critical voice, which is what I was talking about with the dating show, of just like being someone who is self-employed and like also just really into self-actualization. Like finding a balance between pushing myself and being nice to myself. It's a tricky art.
It is absolutely
tricky. It's a tricky art because you want to give yourself feedback. If you're trying to like improve certain things, you have to be open to criticism. But at what point are you just like, lay off it already, you know?
Totally.
So what I was going to say about my dating show was that it went so well. And I found myself afterwards like looking for something to criticize myself about it, or like looking for a reason to not just be really pleased about it. And I was like, oh, I should have performed more. I should have like blah, blah, blah. I should have done these things. And then I had to be like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, it went great. I did great. Like, what if that's okay? And like, what if I want to try something out next time that is like, is different? Mm-hmm. Great. But yeah, just finding this balance between being in like the quest for becoming the best version of yourself or embodying the best version of yourself, finding this balance between, pushing yourself when you're being a little brat, you know, like mm-hmm. dosing up a little tough love to yourself, but then also not abusing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing I want to talk about today is avatars.
Oh, avatars.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the word I use, which I got from my coach, for like different characters that are all part of me.
Ooh, also archetypical kind
yes,
of stuff.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So it's mm-hmm. probably I imagine there's like within different frameworks, the people use different words for this. And like, I'm sure it's a modality that's common, but I call it avatars.
I like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
And speaking to what I was just saying, I have like a dual avatar, two
okay.
avatars that go together that like really help me in this balance. It's the talent and the manager.
The talent and the manager. Nice. Okay.
So it's been so helpful for me since I came up with that like duo, avatar duo, to navigate this balance of pushing myself and allowing myself to recuperate and also giving myself positive feedback. So I, just an example of how the talent and the manager work together. Well, they, first of all, they were not working together. That's why I needed to come up with names for them, because I was procrastinating a ton. I was just like feeling really frustrated. And then I was getting really self-critical. And then I was like, I realized that there are two characters at play here, and that if I got curious about why I was procrastinating instead of just shaming myself about it and trying to like push through it with brute force, that was really informative. So I was like, the talent is pissed off right now. The talent is rebelling and the talent is being a diva because the manager keeps booking the talent for gigs the talent doesn't want to play, keeps overworking the talent, not giving talent a break between shows. And I'm so, So what I'm working on now in my like work arena of life is getting the talent and the manager to be a really strong team. And the manager needs to respect when the talent is tapped out for the day. The talent needs to have a, more of a voice in like decision making. But the manager also protects the talent when it comes to like setting up logistics or like that's the manager. That's not the talent. The talent doesn't do bookkeeping. That's the manager, you know? So I'm having a lot of fun playing with this, and it's really helpful.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds like the one of the best ways to keep a balance within yourself, to keep yourself centered.
I think it's also helpful to work with avatars because you get to create some sort of separation. Like, it also, like, delineates things helpfully, and then from there, you can kind of figure out what, like, if you're not acting in accordance with what you think you want, you can kind of figure out which avatar isn't getting their needs met and what they need in order to, like, get on board and help move the whatever needs to happen forward.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Does that mean, I'm guessing you're aware of nonviolent communication?
I'm aware of it, but I haven't really read much on it.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Well, just you're talking about, like, needs, and that's a heavy part of nonviolent communication.
Cool. Okay, nice. Yeah, I would like to learn more about it.
With...
to come to one of your workshops.
Yeah, just love my first one today.
Yes.
Very exciting stuff. Yeah. And so, what other avatars do you have?
I have one called the Trickster. So I have high vibe and low vibe avatars.
Cool.
So the high vibe avatars are ones who make healthy decisions. And like when I'm embodying one of the high vibe avatars, I'm being my best self in whatever version that is. And when I'm in one of my low vibe avatars, I'm not making as healthy decisions. Like I'm, might be being petty. Like it's more like my human self, you know?
Yeah. Gotcha.
My mortal being.
Mere mortal.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Okay. And, like when do you see them all working in harmony, like together? Do you see them all in one place, like in front of you, or do you feel them inside of you? Like, where are they?
This is something I would like to bring more awareness to, because I'm not necessarily thinking about them actively all the time, but like when I need to solve a problem and when I'm like having some sort of discord with myself, or like I said, like I'm saying I want one thing, but I'm acting another way or something. That's when I kind of get curious and I'm like, okay, who's at the driving wheel right now? Who's at the steering wheel? Yes. Like who's nagging everyone in the back? Who's blah, blah, blah. So to your question of how do I see them?
various ways. Like, various visuals are helpful to me. Like, the car. A car visual is really helpful. Sometimes different avatars work together in teams.
Mm.
So, and then, like, certain avatars help each other out more than others.
Okay.
Certain avatars, often when there's discord, it's because, like, certain avatars are shaming other avatars. So there's, like, internal dissonance where... So that's another interesting thing about just, like, self in general. I think it's really important to allow for... allow for, like, acceptance of dissonance. Like, there's obviously dissonance that's, like, uncomfortable, but I also think there's some, like, internal dissonance. Maybe that's not the right way to phrase it, but there's something delightful about having contradictions. And I actually think that really makes someone authentic when they have contradictions. Like, they love this one thing and they love something that is, like, in direct opposition to that. Like, allowing yourself to have things like that. So, like, I feel more congruent holistically when I allow for certain things about me to just not make sense. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. When have you felt that recently?
It's a great question. When have I felt that recently? I feel it often. I express it a lot in how I dress, in that when I'm putting together an outfit, I don't really like to, like, if I'm wearing a dress, I want to wear motorcycle boots, or like, if I, like, I like to balance shit out that's, like, the opposite, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or, like, if I'm wearing a really, like, kind of traditionally masculine aesthetic, like, I want to wear heels, you know?
Nice.
So that's a way that I express it. Recently, I don't know. I think it expresses also socially in terms of, like, who I spend time with. Different avatars like to hang out with different people. And what I strive to do is, like, not cast any judgments about, like, my social decisions or who I want to spend time with, or, like, try to reconcile what makes sense and what doesn't, or like, oh, here's my scene or here's my not my scene, because certain avatars just take the lead in different scenes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I need access to all of that in order for all the avatars to, like, you know, get to put their dancing shoes on and, like, have be in the spotlight sometimes.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they might start rebelling, and then who knows what will happen.
Has there been a total breakdown between the avatars before?
Yeah. So, I have an avatar called the Nietzsche Scholar, is, like, really anti-establishment and, like, really just, like, thinks, is a little bit, she's very, like, brainy and theoretical and kind of, like, righteous.
Mm-hmm.
She's a low vibe avatar, but she has, like, she gets to shine when I write. Like, she gets to say little biting things sometimes, and, like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that in a positive way, like, mm-hmm. that contributes.
Yeah.
She does not get along with an avatar that I don't really have a name for yet, but basically, like, my materialistic basic bitch. like the avatar in me that like likes to get acrylics, you know. Like, wow. They just like don't get each other, you know. Uh-huh. So then like they like to have opinions when I make one decision, it like strongly in one direction or another on that spectrum.
Yeah.
Which kind of, you know, tempers my enjoyment of whatever I might be choosing to do. So I have to figure out ways to like, yeah, give them their spotlights and like figure out what the conflict is between them.
Mm-hmm.
But they both get to exist and they don't have to understand each other. Wow. You know?
That's beautiful.
But they're all on the same, they're on the same team.
Of course.
So they have different skill sets, but they're all like, the goal is to unite them to the same purpose rather than like, you don't want to have conflict in the team.
No.
Right. And you want to have a team with diverse skill sets and interests. And yeah. So that's kind of an example of some internal team conflict.
That is so awesome. And I got to ask, as American Honey.
Yeah.
An incredible burlesque performer that I got to see recently and just blew my mind. Where do they show up in that whole aspect inside of yourself?
I guess American Honey would just be like her own avatar too. Although like certain avatars like participating in that. So I acted a lot growing up. I think this probably comes into like why this is such a helpful way for me to like figure myself out, is because it's like I'm literally playing different characters.
Yeah.
But they're all me
in
some way. They're all different facets of myself. Yeah, American Honey. She's just her own beast, I think. But, actually, so one of my favorite avatars, which is a high vibe avatar, is called the Trickster.
Mm.
And the Trickster is, like, very, like, mischievous, just, like, fuck shit up. Like, the Trickster is the one who, like, signs me up for shit. And it's like, okay, we're doing it! And then we're all, the rest of me is like, ah! The Trickster's like, ha ha ha, now you have to do it! You know, like, the Trickster is the one who, like, probably signed me up to do burlesque in the first place.
Yes, right.
Because, like, ha ha, this is gonna be good for you! Like, I know you're fucking terrified! So I would say that American Honey, Trickster definitely gets to express herself in burlesque.
And so, like, when you signed up for burlesque, what was going on in your life? Like, why? What brought you to that?
So I really feel like burlesque, like, performing it for the first time was very, very important to me. And honestly, one of the, like, best experiences of my life. Yeah. It's something that I had wanted to do for years. It was kind of, like, a personal threshold for myself. Where it's like, I'm going to do that. And, like, I know when I do that, it's going to just change the game for me. Because, like, how terrifying. How fucking, like, getting up on a stage, like, and stripping and, like, trying to be sexy and funny in front of a live audience, it's, like, really scary.
It's a lot of stuff that you have to mentally work through.
It's very vulnerable. It's very empowering. It's a huge, yeah, exactly. It's a lot. So, yeah, I had wanted to do it for years, and then finally I got a friend of mine to agree to, I was like, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to do it this year.
Yeah.
This was also around the time that I was thinking about quitting my last job and starting my business.
Mm.
But I hadn't yet. So, yeah, we took a course. It was a couple months. We prepped for it. And the first performance, oh, my God. It was amazing.
Yeah.
There was just, everyone told me too, there's nothing like it. Like, it's never going to be the same. Because there were like 20 of us in the course, most of us, or something like that. Most of us, it was our first time performing. So all of us had like 10 friends come. So there was a shit ton of people.
Yeah. Yep.
There were a lot of us, so the show was really long, which meant everyone was getting really drunk. This was in New Orleans, too. So the, like, bar was really cramped. The hype, like, the energy in the room, and then just the sheer terror of what we were about to do
was insane. Excellent.
So, yeah, I was so scared beforehand, and I just kept, like, thinking to myself, I was like, why the fuck did I voluntarily put myself in this position?
Yeah.
Like, why did I do that? I'm literally about to get up on stage in front of, like, I want to say 200 people. I might be exaggerating, but, like, it was packed.
Yes.
And I'm about to, like, get naked.
Yeah.
And, like, dance alone. <Yeah. laughs> Yeah, it was so fucking scary, but I just kind of remember, like, when I went up and, like, you know, I was waiting for the curtain to open, and, like, I was just kind of like, okay, fuck it, like, we're gonna do it. And then I did, it was, like, so thrilling. It was so much fun, and immediately after I got off stage, I was like, I have to do that again. Wow. That was such a thrill.
Yeah,
like, they were throwing dollar bills, they yeah. were hollering, like,
yes.
It was such this, like, conversation with the audience, too, and, like, so many of my friends were there, and, yeah, it was amazing.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That's
But I really feel that it radically changed my relationship with myself, because
mm-hmm.
I noticed markedly after that, well, first of all, I quit my job, and I started a business,
yeah.
which is also fucking terrifying.
That's pretty intense.
It's pretty intense. And also, I have a service-based business, which is, my service is, like, providing insight and motivation. So it takes a tremendous, or it takes and has taken a tremendous amount of confidence and self-resolve to be like, I'm worthy of that, and I have something to say, I have something valuable to offer, and, like, I invite you to listen to me.
Yep.
Like, that also is, like, yeah, just utterly terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Still scary, but, like, less and less. I mean, I find new things to be afraid, new, like,
yeah.
thresholds, you know?
Yeah.
But so I had the nerve to quit my job and start this business. I also just, like, sexually, I feel so much more confident because
nice.
I'm just, like, way less inhibited.
Mm-hmm.
I think generally I just, like, advocate for myself and my needs more.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something about it, too. It was, like, a letting go of, like, any, like, perfectionism. Not that I've, like, mastered that art at all, but, like, it was a good yank on the thread of untangling that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why is that?
Just because, like, I guess, like, body image stuff, like,
mm-hmm.
You're just like, well, here I am,
mm-hmm.
I'm naked, take it or leave it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, like, body image stuff, I also just feel like comedy in general is a lot about, like, letting moments live and have their own life and their own tension and awkwardness and, like, clumsiness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Honesty?
Yeah, honesty, exactly. And then, yeah, it was just really, it is really empowering to be like, I am someone who has the nerve to do that. So there's a theory in psychology I'm really obsessed with called self-perception theory.
Okay.
Which is basically, like, in the same way that we infer character traits about another person based on observations of their behavior, we do the same thing with ourselves.
Nice.
So, which is why, like, certain things like fake it till you make it, or, like, you know.
I'm seeing it now, yeah.
Right, which is why also, like, making poor unethical choices, even if no one finds out, you know. you see literally everything that you do, and it impacts your perception of yourself. Because think about it too, like the reason we care what other people think, well, there are a variety of reasons. But the reason why we often do to an unhealthy extent is because we care what we think of ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a real game changer for me of like understanding that and being like, oh, if like I infer that I'm a brave person because I just stripped on stage. If I did that, next time I'm in a situation where I have to do something I'm afraid to do, I'm like, well, I can conclude I'm a brave person because, like, it's not even conscious necessarily, but, like, you see everything you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most important thing. Like, that's the most important perception. Because that's where confidence comes from, too. It's, like, your perception of yourself. Or, like, do you think you're a good person? Or I guess everyone kind of can justify. That's, like, some principle of, like, everyone thinks they're a good person and will justify their behavior accordingly.
No matter what.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, that way, yeah, if someone rejects you in dating or you fuck something up, like, you have this foundation of knowing of, like, all right, cool, well, like, I know I have a lot to offer, or, like, I know I'll try again. Like, you build that foundation with yourself, and you can do it consciously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were just talking, I was just talking to my friend Sarah about self-accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And how that...
Totally. Self-trust. Exactly. Yeah. Totally.
Because if there's like, I'm now like, I'm connecting it with this and now it's like, well, if you're constantly,
it's the same thing of
trusting
like,
yourself.
If you don't trust yourself, you're fucked.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. Like if you keep saying you're going to do something and then not doing it, even if no one else knows it, you start to be like, well, how can I trust myself if all these times I said I was going to do this thing and I didn't? That's where I think, like, self-care truly is just showing up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In every way. Yeah.
Whoa. Wow. I'm loving those dots being connected right now. That's, like, that's really good because you, at least before, there was a big part of, like, being alone and, like, always, not in the sense, like... Because you could think of, almost, like, if I were to think back to, like, being, like, in a sense of, like, being religious or something like that. I think of myself back when I was 6.
Yeah.
And, like, being in, like, going into Catholic school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was during the time where I was like, I don't think I believe in this. You know, I was super young.
Right.
And I got out super young.
But you're like, something ain't right about this.
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And, and then I'm just like, but couldn't I just live my life, like, making good choices and not doing bad things to other people?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, because I don't want that for mm-hmm. myself. And, mm-hmm. like, kind of building that relationship with myself.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Totally. Can I recite a poem that just came to mind?
Yes, please. Yes, do it.
Okay, so there's this ancient Sufi poet that I love named Hafiz, who I think you would love. He's just the most joyful man. Or, nice. I mean, we assume he's a man.
Uh-huh.
Who knows? But anyway, I'll lend you a book. Love him. Part of what I love about him is he does a very... delightful is just the only word, like, job of addressing deeply spiritual topics without shirking a bodily or a human experience. In fact, like, not just not shirking it, like, integrating it, like, making it actually human experiences very spiritual, like sex or drinking. He's always, like, writing about being wine drunk and, like, having orgies and, like, exalting the stars.
Sweet, yeah.
Anyway, so he has this one poem called Damn Thirsty.
Okay.
And it goes, first, the fish needs to say, something ain't right about this camel ride. and I'm feeling so damn thirsty.
What? Oh my.
So you were the fish and the church was the camel ride.
Yeah. Oh my god. Okay. Shirk me, dude. Like, dang. Holy crap. Well, I was the fish, and that's why I'm not religious. Great.
So you're the fish, yeah. And the Catholic Church is the camel ride, right?
Right? Right? Yes, that's right. Dang. And so, with you, like, stepping and having the courage to start your, like, coaching business around dating.
Yeah.
And now being here in Seattle.
Yeah.
Like, you also moved into a new city.
Mm-hmm.
With doing that. And, like, how has that felt to you throughout this whole time? And, like, what comes up?
Huge. Yeah. I think that I'm kind of, as I was saying, like, I did it. I made that move almost spontaneously. Like, I really didn't put... It made sense, but I didn't put that much, like, emotional energy into the decision. I was just like, oh, yep, all right, I'm doing that.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, I would say that I really, in terms of, like, hitting the ground running, really started my business when I moved here. I had technically started it before, but, like, it was interesting because, like, when I started introducing myself here, I had this new identity where I was, like, I was entirely outside of my context, you know, which was really, it was and, like, continues to be, but less and less because I have more people who know me here, but, like, it's very disconcerting being, like, I moved here, I like, knew my cousins, and I, like, but I really didn't know anyone, like, at all. Mm-hmm. and to just be, like, totally without context for people, you know, and for myself, it's both liberating, but, like, also kind of alarming. Because you're like, who am I?
Yeah, yeah. I'm Cora. And they're like, and what do you?
And what do you do? And you're like, oh, I'm a dating coach. And they're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I guess that's who I am now. Because, like, when I was in New Orleans, or DC or wherever, like, there were a lot of people around who had seen me through many, many different phases and had kind of, like, seen the becoming of that or, like, seen my path, like, to getting there intellectually or, like, I had maybe even discussed the idea with them, like, a year ago. So to have to, like, be in this position where I was just totally contextless was really interesting. Was a very interesting exercise with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Both positive and also not as fun sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What were some of those, like, down moments for you? And how'd you push through?
I'd say, like, various moments of just feeling kind of out of touch with myself or, like, wanting to, like, bring my history with me, but, like, also not wanting to, like, lead with that necessarily. Definitely getting kind of, like, defensive at different points.
Mm-hmm. With yourself.
With myself and with other people. Because I also, I experienced a pretty, a culture shock, too. Which I don't know why I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to move literally as far as I can across the country and, like, the culture's good. Like, there's, I'm just gonna like slide in there, just gonna surf on in, you know.
Yeah.
But that was something I wasn't really anticipating, and then like kind of figuring out, is it me? Is it a cultural difference? Is it all the weed I've been, that's all the legal weed I've been smoking?
Yeah.
Because, yes, I definitely had a few months of really reaping the benefits of living in Washington.
Nice.
Yeah. It's kind of difficult to describe. And I feel I'm still in that process for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that, like, I just had a good friend who's known me for years come to town. And I noticed there's, like, I remembered what that felt like, mm-hmm. you know, of, like, a context, a shared context.
Yeah.
Like, a shared long-term context. And I just think it's really valuable. And it's also really exciting to meet people where they're at now.
Yeah.
And not know who they were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And let them tell you if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And also have it not really matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it, both are very beautiful.
Yeah. And I gotta tell you, Cora, like, I didn't fully get until I think this last Saturday when your friend Jordan
mm-hmm.
said that you guys are both really into creating connection and community.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a huge thing. And I was like,
totally.
It's ultra apparent
yeah. like,
with you. And yeah. where does that stem from?
We really
from?
Have that in common, Jordan and I. I think it's just always been my nature. I think that's why I feel pulled to do what I do. Apparently in kindergarten, I would play with like all the different little groups. Like, I would just take turns with all the little groups. And I've always felt that way. Like, I always, kind of speaking to the avatar, like, I really get off on being in, on, like, social variety and, like,
nice.
Dipping into different scenes and getting to be different versions of myself or, like, getting to lead with different versions of myself or like find a point of connection. Like it's a challenge to find, be like, oh, I know we have a point of connection. Mm. What is it?
You know? I like that.
Like, yeah. I know we do. Let's figure out what it is.
Yeah.
You know? So that's also, I think what drew me to like working in a dating space too, is that like, I always loved dating. I always thought it was so fucking fun because
yeah.
you literally just like get to go interact with people and like, find your points of connection with them, you know, mm-hmm. do the same. You like sit down and you're like, okay, what's our point of connection? And like, mm-hmm. what's our vibe together? Like, what might this relationship be? Yep. You know? So I always found it to be absolutely smashing and like just really fun, like yeah. an adventure. So that's part of what drew me to building my business is that I just saw how many people fucking hate dating. And I was like, it can be so fun.
Yeah. Just change the perspective yeah, a little bit.
Like, help me help you make it fun.
Yeah.
Because it can be. And obviously there are parts that are, it's challenging. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think fun, something is fun. It isn't fun if it's not challenging.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
Otherwise it's not engaging.
Yes.
And like, yeah, it can be challenging. It can be unpleasant. It can be, but if you're into self-growth, if you're into like growing personally and you're into social connection, I think it's an absolute hoot. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
You can get into the most ridiculous scenarios.
Yeah.
And it's different every time.
Every time. No relationship is the same.
Yeah, it's so true.
Oh, I love that you're not just saying, like, not just necessarily, like, helping others, like, that just while you're like, you know, I've never been in a relationship, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're gonna help you have fun.
Exactly. Well, also, yeah, like, get your actions, your decisions in line with what you actually want, because a lot of people have dissonance with that. They say they want one thing, but they're behaving a completely... They're behaving in a way that attracts something completely different, because mm-hmm. they're maybe not owning what they actually want, or yep. they're not even aware of how their behaviors are being perceived.
Yeah.
That and how can you enjoy the process?
Because it's a journey.
Because it's a journey.
It's not just the
and
goal.
And also, if you're having fun, you're that much more attractive, and
yeah.
people want to date you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who doesn't want to date someone that's fun?
Who doesn't?
I don't know. Hold on. I haven't met anyone. I don't know anyone that's
yeah. just... Right. And that, like, it. Keep it fun. Just keep it fun. I yeah. mean, you know, keep it whatever else it needs to be, too.
Mm-hmm.
But if keep you're not...
Keep it real. Keep it real
keep
fun.
It, keep it real. Keep it real fun. Yeah. But if you're not enjoying... that, I mean, that should be one of your primary questions at the end of a date. Like, did I enjoy myself?
Yeah.
Yes, no. If I didn't, why the fuck would I see that person again? You know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So if you're enjoying yourself, if you're enjoying your own company,
oh,
kind of yes. like circling yes. back, if you yes. enjoy your own company, people enjoy being around you.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is... Take that one in, world. That's a good one. That's a really good one. And... Cora, there was, I believe, a time that you fell in love with yourself.
Yes. Yes, I did. So, I've done a couple solo trips, and I think it's amazing. I think, like, very important in my unfolding to this point as a human. So I did this one road trip 2 years ago where I was really interested in what it meant to me to be American. So I decided I was going to drive around the country. That's what I did. And it was a lot, like, it was a lot less glamorous than I was hoping it would be.
Uh-huh.
It was honestly pretty stressful, and I was, like, really anxious a lot of the time.
Oh, my.
Because I was working while I was doing that. This is part of yeah. how I was able to do it for so long. I was working remotely. So I was, like, balancing being exhausted from long days of driving with, like, resting days, with working days, with, like, trying to find Wi-Fi, with having super inconsistency of, like, where the fuck am I going to sleep tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty stressed out a lot of the time, but mm-hmm. I also had a blast.
Okay.
But the real takeaway was I just... So there's a difference between self-confidence and self-efficacy. Ooh. Self-efficacy being... your belief in your ability to do things, or your belief in your capability.
Okay.
And that's something that I always felt like I had pretty good self-confidence, but I didn't feel like I had high self-efficacy for a long time. Probably until I did my big trip post-college, and then I was like, okay, that's what part of what I love about travel. It really, like, instills a sense of self-efficacy in yourself. Because you're like, all right, I'm here. I got, you know, a couple euros. I, like, have my brain. I have a sense of adventure. Like, I need to figure out how to get to Dublin.
Mm.
Let's go. I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, like, all problems. Like, in real-time problem solving and, like, yeah. sleuthing and being figuring out how to be resourceful in different settings.
Yeah.
And it's, like, logistical intelligence, social intelligence, emotional intelligence, like, navigating street smarts. It's, like, all these things. I like, yeah, I love it. And I think that, like, travel itself, both this trip I did post-grad and then this big road trip, were, like, really huge for my sense of self-efficacy. Because I saw, like, oh, I can drive 10 hours by myself in a day and also have a fun time, like singing to the radio and like eating peanuts, you know?
So many peanuts.
So I really just spent a ton of time by myself in a car. And it was different than doing a solo travel somewhere else or like not in a car, because you have the option of meeting people when you're not in a car.
Yep.
But when you're in a car, you don't.
Nope.
And also when you're in like the middle of fucking Wyoming, you don't really have cell service. You can't really like go distract yourself with like yapping at your friends on the phone. So it was just a lot of time with myself in a metal box. Much like a float tank.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. What I learned too, I just really started to enjoy my own company a lot. And I think I had prior to then, but this was like a really a pivotal point in that development of being like, I can have fun by myself. I can figure out shit by myself. And like, I can be a witness for myself of like these different experiences just because no one else was there. They happened because I saw it. It's like self-perception theory.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was really influential. That changed a lot for me too, that trip.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you got to you got to do that.
I am too.
And that you didn't even, like, you didn't even probably fully know that,
no,
like, that was your intention.
I didn't know it. My intention was to, and I quote, live out an embodied, wait, what was the phrase I used? It was really in one of my cheesier moments. Here's what it is. I wanted the road trip to be an embodied love letter to the United States.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and it, honestly, it was too. And I think that's part of what was, I went to explore my American identity, and like, I did that, and I explored other parts of my identity too, but just like understanding like national identity for myself too, and like how that integrates into who I am.
Yeah.
Was huge. Also, just the act of like driving across the country, like blaring Lynyrd Skynyrd is so fucking American. Like drinking a Slurpee, like, you know, nodding at bikers at traffic lights, like, what's up, you know?
Yeah.
Like there was such a, like, it felt like such an American rite of passage too.
Yeah.
Of like a scrappy American youth just like bumming around in her Toyota Camry.
Yeah. Because I wonder how much like subconsciously that changes.
Yeah.
Like, ourselves. Because I don't even know how I relate totally too much to like
to being American. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what also my burlesque persona is all about. It was very inspired because I did that like a few months after I came back from that road trip, and I'm very fascinated with like with American identity and like what that means and what that means for me, and also what that means right now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
A heck of a time.
A heck of a time.
And where? What do you think are the biggest things that you've learned about yourself through your romantic relationships?
Oh my God, so much. I think part of what's really awesome about romantic relationships is that they're highly triggering.
Uh-huh.
They stir your shit up.
Uh-huh.
It really comes to the surface.
Yeah.
Which is extremely uncomfortable, but then also gives you the opportunity to see what's there and address it. So that's why I get, you know, with clients or just conversations that I have, I hear a lot of people repeating some variation of the belief or the story that like, oh yeah, when I get XYZ sorted out, then I'll start looking at dating. Like then I'll start looking for a relationship. The subtext of that being a belief that you have to be perfect in order to deserve a relationship or be in a place where you can be in a relationship. And obviously there are times when it's just really not conducive. They're really not conducive to being in a relationship. Like, you're not going to show up in a, as a good partner for someone.
Mm.
But I really like to contest that belief that, like, you need to wait to have XYZ shit figured out about yourself before you can get into a relationship, because I really see relationships as these enormous playgrounds for doing that kind of personal work and doing that with someone else. And letting yourself be freaked out and immature and get triggered and then, like, taking responsibility for whatever the fuck the dust stirs up, you know?
Yeah.
Because there's so much you learn in being in relationship with someone else that you, there's no other way that you can learn that about yourself,
mm-hmm.
or about life, or about just certain truths. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've learned so much in my romantic relationships. Yeah.
Give me one thing.
One thing. Can you give me one more prompt to give me some direction?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll also, like, just share an example quickly of just, I learned that I am, like, an immense giver in a relationship, and, that, I didn't know how to communicate my needs.
Yeah.
And wants properly, I guess. Not, like, proper, just didn't know.
Yeah, totally. In that vein, I think a huge thing that I learned and that I've, like, since been addressing and feel that I've made a lot, like, great strides in, but continue to address, is that I historically had a tendency to trust other people's perceptions over my own perceptions and not value my way of doing or seeing things as much as I would value someone else's.
Nice.
Wow. So I learned that, and I was like, damn, what's up with that? I don't like that very much.
Yeah.
So that's something I take with me, and something that, like, I've really, I mean, everything that we've described in terms of, like, things I've done to build up my relationship with myself, it's all about learning to trust my own experience and my own perception and my own insight.
Mm-hmm.
And my own needs too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is a dynamic to navigate of being like, sometimes I'm right and you're also right. And we don't agree. You know?
Nice.
But we're not, neither of us are wrong. We're just right according to our value systems.
Yeah.
And I think the more you learn about yourself, the better you can be in a relationship. Because you have to know, you have to be in touch with what you're feeling and what you need and what you want in order to be able to communicate that to another person. And you also have to understand, I think it helps to understand yourself, because you see all the little, like, weird idiosyncrasies you have, and, like, you start to understand what your values are, why certain things are important to you, what you care about, what you don't, why you care about them, why you don't. And that every person has those belief systems for themselves or those value systems for themselves, and they might not be the same as yours, but people don't want the same things.
Mm.
That doesn't make them wrong.
Mm-hmm.
People don't value the same things. That doesn't make them wrong. It just means that they don't value the same things.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And how is that, with like kind of those values and knowing what you kind of like want in a relationship. How did that shift as well after you kind of like fell in love with yourself?
Yeah.
Like of the person that you wanted to be with.
Mm. I think that my need for someone else to fulfill my needs has lessened considerably. I think I'm way more like, I feel way more free in relationships the more I work on my relationship with myself, because I take more responsibility for the reality that I'm responsible for my own happiness, not someone else.
Nice.
And I'm responsible for how I feel or like what I advocate for. Or like if there's something I want to experience, I'm responsible for putting that into motion.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that means communicating that to the other person. Maybe that means they're in a bad mood and like I want to go skydiving and like just fucking going by myself. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like just not expecting someone to be everything for you and like fill your gaps. Because that's not what it's about.
Yeah. And I like how you brought it to, like, wants. Like,
yeah.
You're like, oh, well, now, since I can make sure my own needs are met.
Yeah.
Like, now we're at wants.
Exactly. And, like,
and that's a great place to be.
Yeah.
Because then that means still your needs are being met.
Totally.
How neat is that?
And I think one of my, just to give an example, one really important thing I've learned about myself, both solo and in relationships, is on a spectrum of emotional need for novelty, variety, and adventure, I am like really fucking high. Like really high.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's something I like felt really misunderstood about at a lot of different points in my life, and even kind of like shame myself about, because I was like, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I just be like grateful for what I have and like settle down and like blah, 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 blah. And I don't think gratitude and desire, curiosity for novelty and learning and adventure and experience are mutually exclusive at all.
Yeah.
At all. In fact, I think they can work in tandem really well. But I realized that it's a need I have. I need that kind of stimulation in order to feel happy and feel engaged with life. And luckily, there are a shit ton of ways that one can address that need.
Mm-hmm.
One can read novels. One can go on trips. One can learn a new skill. One can hang out with a lot of different types of social groups. Like, there are a lot of ways to address that need, not just one. So that's something that comes into play a lot for me in dating and romantic relationships, is that, like, I know that my need for that is, like, ridiculously high, usually higher than anyone I'm dating. I also know that I need to be with someone who, it's also high for them. It doesn't have to be as high, but they need to be okay with me going and doing my own thing and like having random adventures frequently.
Yes.
Like it's just part of the package.
I like how you like kind of close your eyes out frequently.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of a good example of like, that's a need I know I have. I'm responsible for meeting that need.
Mm-hmm.
My partner is not responsible for like meeting that need all the time.
Yeah.
And of course I want to be with someone, and like I am with someone who has a really high drive for adventure and novel experience too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not his responsibility to make sure I'm like satiated with like random conversations and whatever. Like we, of course, to an extent, but like that's my job.
Yes. And if it's not getting enough from that, like, him specifically or whatever, then, like, it's on you to, like, not
yeah,
be,
it
like,
has nothing to do with
figure
him.
It out.
Like, yeah, it's nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it has everything to do with, like, I just need to go read a new book.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not an issue with the relationship. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, I think I want to learn about quantum physics right now. Great.
Great.
See you later. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I go to the bookstore down the street.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. And let's see, before your current relationship, was it that it was like 3 years or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had different relationships in that,
mm-hmm.
in those 3 years, but I was dating a lot. That's kind of, I got a lot of chops. I got a lot of experiences connected
nice.
With different people. I was also traveling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I had a lot of different kinds of relationships in that time period.
Nice. And how did you, after, say, like, a longer-term relationship, how did you know how much time to take to get back into it?
God. I was definitely emotionally unavailable for a while.
Uh-huh.
I definitely made some unhealthy decisions.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was after, like, my last long-term relationship, I was in a lot of pain. It was really painful for me. And then I was definitely, like, pretty emotionally closed off for a while. So I was just kind of flitting around, you know, having fun, going on dates, whatever. But I don't know that I knew how long to take at all.
Mm-hmm.
I was just stumbling around trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess, when did you start to notice, oh, I'm emotionally available again? It's happening.
I noticed it when I've dated someone who was emotionally unavailable.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Whoa, you're like, wait a minute.
And I was like, wait a minute, this is boring as fuck, and I'm really frustrated. And
yeah.
I want to go deeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's really when I noticed it. I was like, I think I got into that relationship because I think it was a good match because we were both emotionally unavailable.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Then through that process, I was like, wait, I don't like this.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long was that from the, like, breakup that caused the emotional unavailability?
Like a year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how long was that relationship?
3.5 years.
Wow, half the time.
Longer, a little longer, yeah. Yeah.
Wowzers.
Yeah, that's what they say. It's like half the time.
Really?
Yeah, they say it takes half the time. I don't know. I mean, I think all these timeline thing, all of these blanket timeline statements are kind of bullshit.
Yeah, that's a little much.
Because that's the thing about dating and relationships is, like, yes, there are certain truisms. Yes, there are certain best practices. But, like, there are not fucking rules beyond being respectful and being honest and whatnot, you know? Like, there's no correct amount of time that you need to take after a relationship.
Mm.
You could, you know, sometimes you meet someone 2 weeks later. Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Sometimes you meet during.
Sometimes you meet during. Exactly. Yeah.
It's exciting. Wow. Cool. Now, say you wake up in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Cora. Mm-hmm. I wake up.
Mm-hmm.
How are my thought processes? How do you get out of bed in the morning? Like, how are you pumped? Are you like, where are you at?
Yes. Okay. So, first of all, I have satin sheets and a canopy and a fluffy princess bed. I fucking love it. So, my phone is on. Picture this.
Yeah.
I wake up.
I'm picturing it. I'm right there. I'm right there.
My phone is on airplane mode.
Uh-huh.
I get up. I go and I make a little smoothie.
Nice.
And I make a pot of tea. And then I kind of drink my drinks. I flutter around. I maybe, like, listen to some music. calming music. I actually have a morning playlist.
Nice.
I actually have a song that I listen to every morning.
What is this song?
It's called Soda Tots.
Okay.
It's by, like, I don't even know how to pronounce the name of who it's by. It's, like, by Claude Roussel or something.
Cool.
Definitely, like, Northern European techno vibes. But I love it because I've been listening to this for years in the morning. I love it because it's, like, calming yet energizing. And it's, like, nostalgic yet forward-looking.
Wow.
I'll play it for you soon.
I would love to hear it.
You should listen to it in the morning.
Yeah. Maybe on our walk over to dance, we'll listen to it. Oh, sounds my gosh, great. That's awesome. Okay, you listen to it, you have your drinks. How's the morning, like, thought pattern?
The morning thought pattern. Sometimes better than others. I like to, my ideal, and I try to do this as often as I can, is, like, I keep my phone on airplane. I kind of go through my little routine, and then I do some journaling. So I kind of, like, dump some shit out. Whatever's, like, in my head gets on the page. And then I plan the day. So I kind of, like, set some intentions. So when I do that, the mental patterns are great. When I don't do that, I'm like, oh, shit, I slept. Like, I went to a show last night. Oh. I don't know. So, you know, most of the time, great. Other times, it's a miss.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a process.
I like that. Keeping it honest with yourself on all that. That's really cool. Cora, we have to leave pretty soon, but what is your final piece of advice for those out there that are having a tough time loving themselves, the tough time, with their self-perception?
Mm-hmm.
What do you got for them?
First of all, be nice to yourself and remember that you're always just learning. Like, there's not a big destination on this shit. Like, you're always just a beginner. And if you're being, like, if you're frustrated with yourself or you find yourself being very self-critical, I really think it's valuable to think about, like, your child self. Be like, what do I need right now? Like, do I need a nap? Do I need a banana?
Yeah.
Like, am I just tired? Am I frustrated? Like, let yourself feel what you feel like you would with a kid. You validate their feelings. And you can say, oh, that's so adorable. They're just upset right now. Like, I would recommend getting in touch with your child self.
Nice.
Yes. Yes.
It's so important because guess what? We were all children once. And we're all still kind of just children.
Yeah, we're all just figuring it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Do you have, for some reason, would you like to create a fake tagline? Like a fake thing you can go out on? Like,
sure.
Hey, guys, like, love yourselves out there because no one's going to do it for you. Like, yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I just think you have a really good jingle in you.
Thank you. You're responsible for meeting your own needs. It's not entirely jingly, but I feel like that's kind of... You're responsible for everything in your life. You really are. But that's great, because responsibility is power.
Fuck yeah! Cora, that's what I'm talking about! Yes! Cora, you're so great.
That was so fun.
I love you!
Love and
Cora Boyd, I just absolutely adore you. I want to thank you for being on the show, sharing your stories and experiences, and for what you're doing for this world. And I just know that you're just about to blow up. You're going to be so well known.
It just, I'm very honored to know you and inspired by what you do. So thank you. Thank you for that. And for those of you looking for some one-on-one self-love coaching sessions, check out loveamp.com to get a session with yours truly, Seth Pearson. So until next time, love yourselves out there.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.